I'll be reading Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Thank you, Michael, for the scripture reading. And to echo what Ray said in his prayer, that Brad has a quick recovery. I'm honored to get up and speak. It's not one of my most favorite things to do, but I will do my best, so, and if I look nervous, I am, so. The scripture reading this morning from Hebrews 11:6, we'll be getting to that in a minute, but I'd like to mention the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is really encouraging, and it teaches us many, many good things, and in the front part of the books of the Bible, they give like the keys to the books that you're reading. And in Psalms, there's, at the beginning, it says the key to Psalms. And I want to read just a part here. It says, the key word, worship. The central theme of the book of Psalms is worship. God is worthy of all praise because of who he is, what he has done, and what he will do. His goodness extends throughout all time and eternity. The Psalms present personal responses to God as they reflect on his program for his people. There's a keen desire to see his program fulfilled and his name exalted. Many of the Psalms survey the Word of God and the attributes of God, especially during difficult times. This kind of faith produces confidence in his power in spite of circumstances. Psalms are very encouraging, like I said, and my lesson this morning is going to come from Psalms 19. And the title of that psalm is The Works and Words of God. This psalm is written by David. But before we look at that, we'll go back to our scripture reading of Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Two important things are going on here that are mentioned. The first one is pleasing God, and the second is coming to God. With these two activities, this verse teaches us that faith is essential for pleasing God, and those who come to God must believe two certain things. One, that he exists, and two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. With this verse, and what was mentioned in this verse, we'll seek to answer three questions as we go through Psalms 19. First, is there sufficient evidence to believe that God does exist? Two, is there a source of information that teaches how to come to God? And three, are there people we can read about who came to God so that we can learn from their example? And to help answer these questions, we'll use Psalms 19 as our study this morning. If you would turn with me to Psalms 19, I'll be reading that here in just a minute. This psalm can be easily broken down into three sections. So as we go through and read this, I want you to listen to three voices. First is the voice of creation. Second is the voice of the Word, and third is the voice of man. Amen. Psalms 19, the works and words of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from the end of heaven, is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they are gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his error? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great or much transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the first six verses, we're taught to listen to the voice of creation. In these, first of all, David presents evidence that will lead us to believe that God does exist. And two, David teaches us to listen to what the objects in the heavens have to say to us. Verse 1 mentions the heavens and the firmament. Says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. What does this have to say to us? That God's glory is declared in the heavens and the firmament, which is the sky above the earth, and it shows his handiwork, his creation, and his creative mind. Now, if we go all the way back to Genesis, the very first verse, we read where God created the heavens and the firmament. And through faith, we accept what is written in the Bible. As we started out reading Hebrews 11:6, if we back up three verses, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So those of us who believe God's word accept the fact that God did create the heavens and the firmament. But in reading Psalms 19, you read the first six verses, David doesn't mention the word of God until verse 7. We will learn about the voice of the word, but right now he's teaching us about the voice of creation. So in the first six verses, David has us consider the heavens, the firmament, the regular passing of days and nights, and the sun with its effect upon everything on the earth. All these things have something to say to us. And as they speak to us, what they say really can't be heard with the literal ear, but can be heard with the heart. And as we understand the word, we need to have an understanding heart. In hearing this, we need to understand too that it can be heard in any language, whether you're Japanese, German, Italian. It can be heard in any language. But what does it tell us? These tell us that someone created them and that their creator is intelligent and powerful. In our Wednesday night class, the teen class, we're studying the existence of God and creation. And in one of the lessons we learn about the design, the creation of the heavens and the earth. And with a design, there must be a designer. We also learn that some of the brightest minds, even of today, many scientists, many of those who teach in prestigious colleges, they teach differently. They teach that there is no God. David speaks of the sun in verses 4 through 6. It says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of its chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from the end of heaven, and its circuit to the end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. In one of our Wednesday night studies, in one of our books, there's a passage in there that reads, the earth passes through four seasons as it orbits the sun. Along with increasing daylight, the length in the 6 months between the winter and summer solstice, and decreasing daylight length between the summer solstice and the winter solstice. We also experience a 24-hour cycle that is the earth's daily rotation, and a 28-day cycle that is the moon's rotation around the earth. These are cycles that repeat indefinitely. I think we're all familiar with those. But what do they say to us? It says that there is order and that there is design, and that there was someone very powerful who created those. As we go back to verse 2, it says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. As we go through and we get to the New Testament, in Romans 1:20, Paul states, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, what does all that say to us? It says that God is a creator, the great designer, not only of earth and the entire universe, but also of you and me. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 says, in order to come to God, we must believe that he exists. He shows that God does exist. But as we listen to the voice of creation, evidence is presented that leads us to believe that there is a God, a creator, that there is a God in heaven. But while the voice of creation speaks to us, it's limited in what it says. Though it's very powerful in what it says, the creation does not tell us how to come to God, how to please God, or about the reward for those who diligently seek him. To learn this information, let us look at verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In verses 7 through 9, David referred to God's word as the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord. There's also order in this, part of God's word. The law of the Lord through his testimony, the statutes that we live by, and the commandment, and the judgments of the Lord if we don't obey those. David goes on to describe the word as God as being perfect, sure, right, pure, and true and righteous altogether. I think that just about says it all. But David did not stop there. As we listen to the voice of the word, David also lists the benefits of God's word. He says it converts or restores the soul. That should be an encouragement to us right there. It makes the simple wise. It causes the heart to rejoice. Enlightens the eyes. And it provides warnings to us that we need to hear. These are just some of the blessings provided by the Word of God. In verses 10 and 11, David emphasizes the value of God's Word. It says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So how valuable is God's word? Of God's word referred to and described, which we just read in 7 through 9, David says of his words in 10 and 11, "More to be desired than they are, than gold, much fine gold." Pretty much the system of money today now is ruled, seems like, by gold. It also says, "And they are sweeter also than the honeycomb," in verse 10. I don't know if you ever had a honeycomb, but it's really good and it's very sweet. But we are to desire God's word more than any of that, more than riches, more than fine food. And according to David in verse 11, those who keep God's word will earn a great reward. So as we listen to the voice of the word, we learn how to come to God, we learn how to please him, and we learn about the reward that he provides. As we go back to Hebrews 11:6, it states, "He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." But first, we must believe that he is. And we can learn who God is by simply studying his word. If we take the time daily to do that, if we take the time as a congregation to do that, we learn it through faith. And we learn how valuable the Word of God is to each and every one of us. In the last three verses, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of great or much transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the last three verses, we learn to listen to the voice of a man who came to God. David had his faults just as we do. David committed sin just as we do. But in verse 12, David set a really good example when he asked for understanding of his errors and cleansing from his secret faults. We can ask for understanding. We can ask through prayer. And we can learn it through the study of God's word. In verse 13, David set a good example when he asked God to keep him from presumptuous sin, willful sin. Each and every one of us do that daily. Sometimes we don't even mean to, but we do. He did this so he could remain upright and innocent. And then in verse 14, David asked God, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." What better example for us could be written than in these last words of Psalms 19? So in conclusion, according to Hebrews 11:6, faith is essential for pleasing God. And as we apply the principles of Psalms 19, and we listen to the voices of creation, the word, and the voice of man, amen. As we study God's word, it'll lead us to believe that God does exist and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. David finishes with saying, "O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Is the Lord your strength and your redeemer? One of the most cited examples of redemption in the Bible is the freedom bought for sinners by Christ. Jesus paid the ransom for all sins by giving his life. Ephesians 2:11-18. And as we hear the word, as we listen to the word, we hear that we need to believe. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. We must repent, we must confess Christ, and we can put on Christ through baptism. Galatians 3:26-27. We then must try and live according to the commandments of the New Testament. We need to try living according to the word. We need to try living according as to how the teachings of God guide us. And as David stated in verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." If you're struggling this morning and you need prayers of the congregation, or if you need to put on Christ in baptism, if you need the encouragement, the time is now that you can come forward and do that. And as we think back on Psalms 19 and Hebrews 6, that we strive to understand that there is a God, and there is a God that wants each and every one of us to be saved. So at this time, if you need to come forward for any reason, you can do that now as we sing.
Give us the voice of Jesus, say, come unto me. come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown, yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate, loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Thought to cry too late, Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified.
Let's be seated, please.